Can music serve as a common language to promote unity amongst the divided Christian churches? One Methodist minister who firmly believes it can is Pastor Ro Nahl Jr. from Georgia in the United States, who was here in the Vatican last week meeting with officials at the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. Back in 2007, Pastor Nahl brought a choir to Rome to mark the 300th anniversary of the birth of Charles Wesley, one of the founding brothers of the Methodist movement in England. Following on from the success of that visit, Nahl is planning to bring a group of praise dancers and singers to Rome next spring to share this worship tradition from his African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church. Once known as the Freedom Church for its struggle against slavery and segregation, that community today numbers close to 1.5 million members, mainly in North and South America, Africa, and the Caribbean. I sat down with Pastor Nahl to find out more about the origins of this church and about the ecumenical vision he was bringing here to the Vatican.
Our office today is based in Charlotte, North Carolina. And from its origin, from years ago, when blacks and whites were worshiping together, but were worshiping in segregated conditions, whites on the lower level, blacks on the upper level of the John Street Church in New York, there was discrimination there. For example, the black clergymen were not given an opportunity to exercise their ministerial rights. In fact, there was even discrimination at the baptismal font when the non-blacks were baptized first and then would be the blacks. And so we found, our founders found this to be a distinct form of segregation. And so in the early years, in fact, the year 1796, one of our leaders, James Varick, established the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church as an opportunity to give us the right to exercise our godly rights as black Christians.
How does that affect the church today? Is there still this strong element of fighting racism in whatever form it is today?
I believe that through bodies like the World Methodist Council, the whole thing of discrimination, I would say, has a less impact. Churches are working together more. For example, most recently in Durban, South Africa, the World Methodist Council came together, and this would be Methodists from all over the world. So I think the impact of segregation, in my opinion, is less today than it was in the early years.
Tell us about your visit here to Rome. You've come to see Cardinal Koch, haven't you? Can you tell us a bit about that conversation and the aims of your visit?
Okay. In this conversation, it was for me to get to know the Cardinal and for the Cardinal to get to know me. Our conversation basically centered around what can be done to bring about more Christian unity throughout the world. It is a desire on my part to be as ecumenical in nature as was John Wesley. So I'm just trying to get to know the world better and those that are having a great impact upon making a difference in Christian unity.
You say John Wesley was very ecumenical in his outlook. What exactly do you mean by that? Because, of course, our understanding of Christian unity is quite different today.
Yes. I think that Wesley saw the world as his parish. So he was interested in making things better for everyone in the world, to do all the good he could by all the means he could, to all the people he could, and in all the places he could, as long ever as he could. And really, that is my desire, to do good wherever I can, to as many people as I can, as long ever as I can.
How does that work at the local level back in the United States? Is the great cooperation between the different churches, between your church and the Catholic Church, for example?
I do work some with the Catholic Church. It is not where I believe it should be at this time, but there are some areas where we share. For example, one of my ministries is to go out into one of the local Catholic parishes and feed the hungry there, to help people in the shelter. There are some individuals in my ministry that would go every week to a local parish, Catholic parish there, help prepare food, also take clothing, and meet other needs. So even though we may not worship together every Sunday, but there are opportunities as meeting needs of individuals that make it possible for us to be united in that area by just meeting needs.
Would you say there's an interest amongst your parishioners, though, amongst the local people, to work more closely together and to worship more closely together?
I believe so, because these are volunteers that go once a week on Saturdays to share in helping others and to support the ministry of the local Catholic parish. I also think that there is an interest in our worshiping together and learning about each other's phases of worship and each other's practice in worship. So I do think that there's indeed an interest in that.
You're talking with Cardinal Koch about ways of promoting this vision of unity. Do you have any other ideas? Can you tell me about any other ways that you were talking, practical ways of following this vision?
Yes. In 2007, December 2007, I brought a choir from America here. One of the things to sing in celebration of the Charles Wesley's 300th birth anniversary, I believe that a common denominator among all religious groups is music. So I think to be able to share the different types of music that the different communion bring together is one of the great ways to establish this unity among churches.
So you're hoping to bring some more choirs, bring another choir over here to Rome?
I'm looking forward to it, in fact, and one of the things I would hope to do this spring is to bring a group of praise dancers here to Rome, again, to have a type of celebration, to bring together the dance culture from America, to let it be presented here.
Tell us a bit more about praise dance. It's something that most Catholic people probably won't know anything about.
Yes, it is where we find a song that is relative to our culture and just dance and express praises to God for the many good things that God has done, is doing, and will do for us in our life.
Your tender mercies I see day after day.
Tell us then how you first became interested in this idea of ecumenism, of working with people from other churches.
Yes, I guess originally it started in 1965 when I graduated from high school. Sister Mary John from a Catholic parish in Birmingham, Alabama, took a particular interest in me and helped me to transcend where I was at that time to where she believed I had the potential of becoming, and that encouraged me and helped me and boosted me through my undergraduate education, also gave me an exposure to the concern, the generic concern of the Catholic Church for all people. From there, in 2006, I believe it was, in Seoul, Korea, it so happened that Bishop Clarence Carr of the AME Zion Church appointed me to be a member of the World Methodist Council. And one day, while at the council in Seoul, Korea, I happened to get up out of my seat and leave the auditorium. And in so doing, I got on the elevator with Cardinal Walter Casper. He greeted me, I greeted him, and we talked about the interest for his being in Seoul, Korea. And his secretary, Oliver Law, put me in touch with Donald Boland. And from there, this whole involvement has evolved. And so I'm looking at ways, again, that by working together, exposing the Methodist Church and being involved with the Catholic Church, that we indeed can have a better working relationship between the two churches.
Day after day.
My thanks there to Pastor Ronald Jr., a minister of the Solid Rock African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church from Georgia in the United States.